Let's know what's the purpose of creation. Let's know what's the purpose of creation. Let's know what's the purpose of creation. Let's know what's the purpose of creation.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله The Prophet of mankind, the peace of our hearts and mind, the most generous and kind sallallahu alayhi wasallam is reported to have said, there will be no shade on the day of judgment except for the throne of Allah azza wa jal. Three persons will remain beneath the shade of the divine throne. It was humbly asked, O the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who will be those people? Allah Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, number one, the one who relieves the distress of my ummati, my follower. Number two, the one who revives my sunnah. And number three, and the one who recites salat upon me abundantly. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Salatu wa salamun alayki ya sayyidi ya habibi ya rasulullah, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, nuri min nuriyya. Marhaba, khushamdeed, welcome to one and all to another beautiful episode of this brand new series known as The Purpose of Creation. Subhanallah, this is our second beautiful episode. And very beautifully, in the last episode, we discussed what is our purpose for creation. And we discussed in the light of the Holy Quran that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this message that definitely your purpose of creation, the reason you were created, is only to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanallah. And if as human beings, if we are not fulfilling that purpose of our creation, then by Allah, we are losing out big time. In fact, as we'd explained in the last episode, that we cannot even call ourselves useful, we cannot even call ourselves worthy, because we are not fulfilling the reason, the purpose for which we have been created. Allah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to remain firm on the teachings of Islam. Today, inshallah, we will be discussing how to develop this passion, how to develop the interest in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, subhanallah. But before we begin with today's silsila, let's all make good intentions. As very beautifully Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amali. The intention of a believer is better than his action. So definitely, the more good intentions you make, the more reward you will attain from the exalted court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because a person can do an action, but his intention is not there. Maybe his intention is to please some person. Maybe his intention is to please someone. Maybe his intention is, you know, so people may call me famous. People may say, I'm so pious. People may say this about me. People may say this about me. So his intention is not for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His intention is for fame. His intention is for shohrat. His intention is for pomp and glory. So there is no benefit in your action if your intention is not for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, the only time where there will be the fruits of your actions, the only time where your action will be beautiful, is that if your intention is only and solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. That is why my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, that indeed the actions are based upon the intentions. So your intention is your foundation basically. If the foundation is weak, the entire building will collapse. No matter you build 500, 600, 700 story building, but the foundation is weak, the whole building will collapse. Yes, if the foundation is strong, even if it's a one story, two, three, four story, not much, but you know it's something solid, it's something firm. So that's why there is no use of doing lots of actions, but your intention is not for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is not useful at all. And vice versa, if your intention is solid, your intention is only for the pleasure of Allah, even if you do little ibadat, inshallah, that will be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. So, niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amali. The intention of a believer is better than his action. Do good intentions. Such as when I hear the name of Allah, I will say Jalla Jalaluhu, I will say Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, I will glorify and praise Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. When I hear the name of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when I hear the name Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I will inshallah, you know, kiss my thumbs and place them on my eyes. I will recite durood, salutations, salawat, salam upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When I hear the name of any Sahabi, I will say Radiyallahu Ta'ala Anhu. If it's a female, I will say Radiyallahu Ta'ala Anha. Likewise, when I hear the name of any Ghaus, any Qutb, any Wali of Allah Subhanahu, any Buzurg, I will say Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi or Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayha if it's a female. And likewise, whatever I learn, inshallah, I will first and foremost try to instill those teachings, those practices in my life and lifestyle. And then inshallah, I'll pass on the message onto others as well. And this passing and conveying the message to others is also a sunnah of our beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And indeed, it is also one of the commands of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. For as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has very beautifully mentioned the summary of a hadith that بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً, convey on my behalf, pass on my behalf, even if it is a single ayah. So if you are a muballigh, if you are preaching, if you are teaching, if you are spreading the message on to others, then you must know you are fulfilling the command of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and you are fulfilling the sunnat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Subhanallah, subhanallah. This is the beauty of Islam. This is the beauty of making good intentions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to have good intentions and to keep good intentions always in our hearts and our minds. Ameen, ameen, ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Subhanallah. A man once came to Sayyidina Ma'ruf Karkhi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. And Sayyidina Ma'ruf Karkhi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi is one of the pious saints, one of the pious wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the chain of the Qadim Silsila. Subhanallah. So a man came to Sayyidina Ma'ruf Karkhi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi and he humbly said, I saw a strange thing this night. He rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi asked, what did you see? So the man humbly said, my family members desired to eat fish. Hence, I went to the market and bought fish and then hired a labor. And this labor was a child so that he could carry the fish to my home. So the child started walking with me. And on the way, when he heard the azan for Zuhr Salah, he told me, oh sir, won't you offer Zuhr Salah? Won't you perform Zuhr Salah? It was as if he had roused me to the fact. So I replied, of course. Why not? I will definitely offer Zuhr Salah. So that young boy kept the pot carrying the fish at the gate of the masjid and entered the masjid. I said to myself, this child has sacrificed the pot for Salah. So can't I sacrifice the fish? In other words, this child sacrificed the pot. If somebody comes and takes this pot from here, if something happens to the pot, this child is not going to get his money, he's not going to get his payment because I hired him to carry the pot for me. So if the pot is not there, then he didn't do his job properly. So, I mean, he loses his money. But the child did not keep his money first. What he kept was, he kept the pot one side and he said, you know, let me go and perform salah. In other words, the child was demonstrating and showing this man that the salah is much more important than the spot, than the fish, than the money which I am going to get. So keep this one side. Let me go and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, Allah. So this man says that, I said to myself, this child has sacrificed the pot for salah, so can't I sacrifice the fish? Let me also go and perform salah. If something happens to the fish, let it happen. The fish is not more important than the salah which I have to perform. Allahu Akbar. The man further says that he continued to offer salah until the iqamah was called out and we offered salah with the jama'at of the masjid. When we got out of the masjid, we saw the pot was there where we left it. Having reached home, I told this entire situation to my family members. And they all started saying, invite the child to our home for eating this fish. He's such a wonderful child, a child who has such beautiful characteristics. A child who has so much taqwa, so much piety, invite him. Come, he must also join us in this fish. So the man said, when I invited that youngster, the youngster said, I am fasting. I then asked him to have iftar at our home. He accepted our invitation and asked me to show him the way to the masjid. I showed him the way and he went to the masjid and sat over there. When we completed Maghrib Salah, I asked him, now come to my home. He replied, I will go with you after offering Isha Salah. After offering Isha Salah, I took him to my home that had three rooms. One for me and my wife, the second one for my daughter who was disabled since 20 years, and the third one for our guest. The man says, in the last part of the night, someone suddenly knocked at the door. I asked, who is this? A voice came, I am your so-and-so daughter. I said, she has been disabled for 20 years. She is just like a piece of meat at home. She can't move, she can't walk, she can't do anything. How is it possible for her to walk? She must recover. Then she walked all the way to my door, then she knocked. Why are you joking with me? So, after hearing this, the daughter said, I am the same daughter of yours. That same daughter who is disabled for 20 years, I am that daughter. Open the door. The man says, when I opened the door, I found that my daughter was standing absolutely perfect. I mean, she was not paralyzed anymore. She had recovered. So we asked her the reason. How did you recover? Allah Allah, she replied, when I heard you talking about the guest with goodness. So this thought came to my mind that I should make dua, that I should beseech in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the wasila, the sake of this guest, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may remove my trouble. I therefore humbly said, O Allah, I present the sadaqah of the dignity of this guest of yours in your blessed court. Remove my trouble and bestow upon me peace. Allah, Allah, Allah. She says, after making this dua, I stood upright, as you can see that now I have fully recovered. Allah subhanallah. Hearing this, I went towards my guest, but I did not find him in the home. The man says, he says, I then went to the door, but the door was closed as well. After hearing this beautiful incident, Sayyidina Ma'ruf Karkhi rahmatullahi ta'ala said, of course, pious saints are certainly found amongst the elders and the youngsters as well. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Ibadat mein guzre, meri zindagani, karam ho karam, ya khuda, ya ilahi. Amin bijahi nabiyil amin, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, subhanallah. What a beautiful incident this is. First of all, the first beautiful lesson we come to learn from this beautiful incident is that seeking wasila, you know, using the pious saints of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a wasila, as a medium, as a means in the exalted court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is permissible. Because we know and we believe that they have a closer station, a closer rank, a closer place in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala compared to us. We are sinners, we are disobedient, we have no good actions. So when we make dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we use the names of these great personalities, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inshallah accepts the dua. And the dua is accepted in our favor and our work gets done. So this is the beauty of Islam. Islam teaches you that when you want to make dua, when you want to ask from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have no worthy, you have no status, you have no rank, you are nothing. Make dua in the court of Allah, but use the name of His beloveds. Inshallah, with the name of His beloveds, your work will be accomplished, your work will be fulfilled. Subhanallah, subhanallah. This is the beautiful lesson we come to learn from this beautiful narration. And most importantly, we come to learn the passion, the jazbah, the desire that this youngster had to perform salah in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, this youngster, he had his pot of fish. The time for Zuhr Azan, Azan was just given at that time. If he wanted, he could have taken the pot home and, you know, he could have left it there and then maybe performed the Zuhr Salah later. Okay, he was passing by, the Azan was given, you know, he had to join the Jamaat and that maybe he could keep the pot in some secure place. But no, look at his passion and his desire that he kept the pot outside the masjid. Let me go and perform the salah. If something happens to the pot, if it goes missing or maybe something happens, what will happen? I'll lose my money. I won't get my payment. But salah is more important. And because of that, this man also had the jazbah, the enthusiasm. This young child, he is sacrificing his money. He is sacrificing this for the sake of his salah. Then fish is something which I'm going to eat. It's not something, you know, which I have to give more importance to than salah. No. So he also sacrificed the fish. Leave the fish here. Let's go and perform salah. What was the outcome? When they came out, the fish was still there, the pot was still there. So this jazbah, this passion this youngster had, that whatever happens, I'm going to perform salah. This is one of the ways in which we can develop passion, we can develop this love for ibadat. That we keep the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first in front of our mind and our eyes. Everything else comes later on. First we have to do the ibadat and the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what's the fruits of that? That when a person sacrifices his things for the sake of Allah, then automatically you see the help coming from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As this person, when he came up to the masjid, the pot was still there, the fish was still there. Nothing happened. No one stole it. No one took it. It didn't fall. It didn't spill. It didn't mess. Nothing happened. Why? Because they sacrificed that for the sake of Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made sure that the thing which they sacrificed is safe and sound, and there is no harm. This is the beauty of sacrificing in the path of Allah. And with this you also get the passion, the jazbah of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing it more and more and more, because you know that your affairs will be taken care of, your affairs will be resolved, nothing is going to happen, because you are on the good path, you are on the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. This is how beautiful it is. This person, this youngster had the passion for salah. Unfortunately, many of us today, I mean, you know, days pass, maybe even weeks pass, and we don't even perform even one salah. Yes, maybe every week we'll find ourselves in the masjid for Jummah salah, and that too, you know, we'll come right at the last moment, and we'll leave, you know, as soon as salah is finished. Just as, you know, our heart is restless, we can't stay in the masjid. In the masjid also, our mind is in the business, our mind is in the marketplace, our mind is doing trading, is doing deals. I have to give this person money, I have to take this person's money, I have to do so much things. I mean, what kind of salah are we performing? First of all, we don't perform salah. Al-ayadu billah. Secondly, when we're performing the salah, our mind is moving around. You know, somebody very beautifully said, Jume sarba sajda huwa kabhi, to zameen se aane lagi sada, tera dil to hai sanamashana, to ye kya milega namaz mein? You are performing the salah, but your heart, your mind, your thinking, everything is moving around this world, the luxuries of this world. Then what beauty are you expecting from salah? Because you are not performing the salah wholeheartedly. Very beautifully, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Holy Quran in ayat number 59 of Surah Maryam, 16 para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّا. Allah, translation from Kanzul Iman. And after them came the unworthy successors who squandered prayer and pursued their own desires. So they will soon encounter the forest of Ghay in hell. Allah, about Ghay, this valley of hell, Allama, Marana Mufti Muhammad Amjad Ali Azami rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, very beautifully mentions, he says, Ghay is a valley in hell which is the hottest and deepest of all. It has a well, and the name of the well is Habhab. When the fire of hell is about to be extinguished, Allah Azza wa Jal opens the well, due to which the fire of hell blazes as usual. Allah Allah. Furthermore, it's mentioned, this well is for the people who do not offer salah, fornicators, drinkers, usurers, means those who take usury interest, and for those who hurt their parents. Allah, 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 Allah. Ilahi hu, bahut kamzor banda, na dunya mein, na uqba mein, saza ho. Allah, Allah, Allah. This is the wa'id. This is the warning from the Holy Quran. This is the outcome of those who don't perform the salah. I mean, thinking of the punishment, thinking of the outcome, thinking of, you know, the saza and the azab which you will gain if you miss your salah, this itself is a motivator for you to go and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the person thinks that, you know, this is what's going to happen to me, this is how I'm going to suffer, this is how I'm going to, you know, die. This is how I'm going to feel. I mean, when a person thinks, this is how I'm going to suffer, this is going to be my consequences, this is going to be the punishment, the torment I'm going to face, then a person feels that, you know, let me perform ibadat, let me worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so I can save myself from those circumstances, from those punishments, from those torments. So reading about the punishment, understanding the punishment, thinking about the punishment itself is a motivator for you to gain the passion and the jazbah to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. Make dua, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the bottom of our hearts. Ameen, 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 ya Rabbal Alameen. Remember, every person is not a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every person is not a saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, we are human beings. We commit mistakes. We do wrong deeds. We do filthy actions. But we have to keep in our mind that every moment shaitan is with us. And shaitan doesn't want us to perform ibadat. Shaitan doesn't want us to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaitan doesn't want us to be associated towards Islam and the affairs of Islam. Very beautifully, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has motivated us. It is as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that, you know, shaitan is going to be there. He is going to try to harm you. He is going to try to, you know, move you away from the straight path. But your duty is to carry on worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions very beautifully in the 14th para surah Hijr, ayat number 99, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, wa'bud rabbaka hatta ya'tiyaka al-yaqeen. Translation from Kanzul Iman, and keep worshipping your Lord till death. Till you die, keep on worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the tafsir of this ayah, very beautifully it is mentioned in tafsir Siratul Jinan, that no matter how great pious saint a person becomes, he cannot be free from the acts of worship. When the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was commanded to worship until his blessed apparent demise, then who are we? When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given the hukum and he was commanded to carry on worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then definitely we are not even, you know, equal to the dust which kissed the blessed sandals of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Definitely, that dust is better than thousands of our beings, of ourselves, of our parents, of everyone. When my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, was still given the command to perform ibadah, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then how can we consume, or how can we assume that, you know, we will be given the respite, or we can leave the ibadah, we can leave worship? No. This is a trick from shaitan. Very beautifully it's further mentioned that from this such people should get advice who consider themselves to be of a very high status and rank. Whilst considering themselves to be of a very high status and rank, they become lazy in the acts of worship. They should ponder lest they fall prey to shaitan's secret and dangerous attack, because by such attacks shaitan has led great mashayikh, great people, great scholars, he has led them astray. And with the same attack, he tried to deceive Sayyidina Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, the chief of the pious saints. Allah. How did shaitan try to deceive him? Very beautifully it's mentioned, Sayyidina Shaykh Abu Nasr Musa bin Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, has said, my father said, means Ghaus-e-Azam said, during a journey, I went towards a desert and stayed there for a few days, but I could not get water. When I felt thirsty, a cloud gave me a shade, and a thing resembling rain fell from it on me, by which my thirst was satisfied. I then saw a noor that illuminated the corner of the sky, and a face appeared from which I heard a voice, O Abdul Qadir, I am your Rabb, and I have made haram things halal for you. So I recited, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajim. And I said, O accursed shaitan, get lost. So the illuminated corner turned into darkness, and the face turned into smoke. It then told me, O Abdul Qadir, you have achieved salvation from me through your knowledge and the commandment of your Lord. And in the similar way, I have led 70 mashayikh astray. Means whilst going away, he was also throwing a trick that today your knowledge saved you. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Ghawsi Azam said, I said it is only the grace and the favor of my Lord. It is the fadl wa karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that today I have been saved. It is not my wisdom, it is not my knowledge, oh you cursed shaitan. It is only the fadl wa karam, the favor and the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that saved me today. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Sheikh Abu Nasr Musa rahmatullahi ta'ala further said, he rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi was asked, how did you know it was shaitan? So he rahmatullahi ta'ala replied, I knew from the thing that he said, undoubtedly I have made haram things halal for you. From this Ghawsi Azam picked that, you know, this is shaitan. I mean, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is Sayyidul Anbiya, the best of creation, the leader of the creation, the leader of the entire universe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he was not given this option that, you know, all haram things are halal for you and from today you can do whatever you want to do, or you can worship as much as you, or you can leave worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he was not given that option, then how can I be given that option? So this is how shaitan plays with your mind. This is how shaitan tricks you. He makes you feel that, you know, no man, you are, have a high status. You can leave worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can leave the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, this is a trick from shaitan. So the Quran is telling you, وَعَبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. Until you leave this world, until you until your demise, until your death, keep on worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter what happens, you have to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This ayat of the Holy Quran is also a motivator. It is telling you, this is how you must get the passion and the jazba to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because on one side, shaitan is going to stop you. On the other side, this ayat of the Holy Quran is going to motivate you and persuade you that keep on worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, subhanallah. This is the beautiful teachings of Islam. This is the beautiful lessons which we learn from Islam. Unfortunately, we have reached the end of today's silsila. But inshallah, in the next episode, we will carry on this beautiful discussion of how to gain the passion of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With these few words, we come to the end of today's silsila. Remember, instill the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in your heart, in your mind. This love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the base of your iman. You have this love by Allah, you have everything. You lose this love by Allah, you lose everything. We hope to see you soon, inshallah, in the next episode with this beautiful topic and with this name of our silsila, the purpose of creation. Subhanallah. Remember, be positive, think positive, stay positive. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of you abundance of happiness, abundance of barakah. Ameen, ameen, ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen.
Let's know what's the purpose of creation. Let's know what's the purpose of creation. Let's know what's the purpose of creation. Let's know what's the purpose of creation.